You're listening to Cap and Company starring David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
Third and nine. Trubisky trying to keep the drive alive. Or looking for it all. Touchdown! Taylor Gabriel. Trubisky with a strike.
Yeah, the last time that Trubisky played the Lions here in Soldier Field, he threw three touchdown passes. Here's his third of the afternoon. The man-to-man coverage and the speed of Gabriel. Just too much for Mike Ford to keep up with.
Yeah, it's funny how quickly things can change, Dan. Trubisky was looking gun-shy, and then that final drive of the first half, everything changed for Trubisky.
Cap and Company with David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
There you go. Bears get it done. I've got some negative Nancys around me. Oh, if Matthew Stafford would have played, we'd have lost. Or we should have won by 40 points. And the Lions team. Stop. It's open club dub. They got a victory. It's really hard to do that in the NFL. And they're alive. They won. Trubisky threw three touchdown passes. Two were really, really good throws. The other one was just a dump off and the guy ran it in. But guess what? They won. Enjoy it. Stop being that negative person out there.
Oh, my God. I can't even. I mean, you have been burying Trubisky the last several weeks. And all of a sudden, you're like,
burying him? I've been saying he's been terrible. I mean, it's telling the truth. That's not burying.
Okay. All right.
And he actually played solid.
I agree. And I thought he made some great throws.
Yeah. And I mean, I got to listen. Danny's telling Chef. Oh, yeah.
Listen, if that whole rant was aimed at me, I can accept it. Let's be honest. The Bears, if Matthew Stafford played, who's having a career year after 11 seasons in the NFL, if he played yesterday, the Bears in this vaunted Bears defense loses. It's just a fact. So I'll be the negative Nilly Danny Downer day on this Monday.
And it is not a fact because you don't know that.
You don't know it, but you can. It's like a puzzle. You can put the pieces together and figure it out.
Stafford played last year and they whipped his keister.
In the first quarter when the Lions settled for those two field goals, odds are they get into the end zone at least one of the two times with Matthew Stafford. No?
You don't. Let's go to the awesome, the powerful Adam Schefter, who is not in snow-driven Chicago. He is out in San Francisco for a great Monday night matchup tonight. Schefty, good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Bears got a victory. Mitch had three touchdown passes. And despite some thinking that Matthew Stafford would have beaten them, guess what? He didn't, and they won. What was your thoughts on yesterday's game?
You know, Danny got on the phone with me, and he's like, oh, they wouldn't have won if Stafford played. And I'm like, who cares? He didn't play. What's the difference? Like, what are we getting so worked up about? Like, come on. As you said, victories in this league are tough to come by. They won the game. That's all that matters. And again, that's a tough injury for Matthew Stafford, by the way. Like, this guy is a warrior. And for him to miss time like that tells you how much pain he had been in. And think about that for a second. I think he had started 136 consecutive games. That's amazing when you think about it. Sixth longest quarterback streak in NFL history. And that was snapped yesterday. And listen, there are plenty of times. Look, the Cowboys this year played the Saints without Drew Brees, the Packers without Devontae Adams, and the Vikings without Adam Thielen, and didn't win any of those games. So that's the way it goes.
That's it.
How surprised were you when you got that text that said Stafford wasn't going to play, and knowing the track record that he hadn't missed a game since 2011, was he pushing hard with the Lions doctors to get on that field?
Well, I had been told on Saturday that there was a real chance that he wasn't going to be able to play, and that it was a real serious injury. And because of that, I thought that what might happen yesterday was exactly what did happen, and he didn't play. But even when you do hear it initially, you're very surprised because of how tough he's been, how sturdy he's been, and how little time he's missed. But listen, he's got fractured bones in his back. It's a real deal. And I think he took another hit last week against the Raiders and wanted to go, really wanted to play, just couldn't do it.
Do you think he plays again this season? I know they've said we'll reevaluate, but fractured bones in your back's no joke.
No. But I do think he'll play again this season. Again, I don't know when, but I think he will. He's that tough of a guy. And we'll see how it shakes out. They'll be very careful with him. What's the Lions' record right now? I don't know off the top of my head. What is the record?
3-5-1, I believe.
Yeah, see, now you get into a spot, though, where let's just say Jeff Driscoll couldn't win the next game. And you're 3-6-1. Now, like, what are you rushing to bring the guy back for? Like, what's the rush? You follow that?
Agree with you, 100%.
But I do think we'll see him again. I still think we'll see Matthew Stafford again, yes.
Go ahead, Pat.
I was just going to say, Shefty, you retweeted these Lamar Jackson numbers in his first 16 games and comparing him to some of the greats in the game to, you know, rushing yards against LaDainian Tomlinson. He's got the edge and passer rating against Brady and all these things. Can you put into words what you've seen Lamar Jackson do in such a short period of time?
Yeah, I'm going to do this for you. Basically, put it in the words of basically someone. I saw this information. One of the ESPN guys put it out this morning. I'm just looking for it right now, and I'll read this to you, and it will summarize to you exactly what Lamar Jackson has done. Okay, in his first 16 NFL starts, okay, Lamar Jackson has 13 wins, and in his first 16 starts, Patrick Mahomes had 12. In his first 16 starts, Lamar Jackson has 1,258 rushing yards in 16 starts. In his first 16 starts, LaDainian Tomlinson had 1,236 rushing yards, 22 fewer. In his first 16 starts, Lamar Jackson has a 94.4 passer rating. Tom Brady has a 90.1. In his first 16 starts, Lamar Jackson has averaged 7.6 yards per pass attempt. In his first 16 NFL starts, Aaron Rodgers averaged 7.5 yards per passing attempt. So basically, he's run more than Mahomes. He's rushed for more yards than LaDainian Tomlinson. He's at a higher rating than Tom Brady. And he's thrown for more yards per attempt than Aaron Rodgers.
He's a stud.
Is it sustainable?
Well, that's a great question. Is it sustainable? I think the guy's the real deal. Is he going to perform like that, like he did yesterday with spin moves and crazy things like that? I don't know about that. But the guy's been unbelievable, and I think he can keep that up. Yes, I do.
Do you believe a Chiefs football team that now gets Mahomes back, and he was really good again yesterday, but they allow, I heard this stat on Get Up this morning, they allow 94.9 yards rushing after halftime. That's the most of any team in the last 25 NFL seasons. Do you believe that team has legitimate Super Bowl aspirations? Because Rex Ryan laughed and said, absolutely not.
Well, look, they have some things to shore up and get together before you're considering them a Super Bowl contender. I mean, they have weakness, but we're midway through the season, okay? And I'm sorry, but any game, any team that has Patrick Mahomes in a playoff game, I would never say that they don't have a shot. Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Mecole Hardman, the rookie is blazing fast. So to me, no, they have work to do. They're not as good. They're not even a lock to win their division. And they may not make the playoffs. I would not want to play that team in the postseason, period.
Of all the games yesterday, the Steelers taking care of the Rams and winning their fourth straight, the Vikings going to Dallas and winning there, or Atlanta going to New Orleans and taking care of the Saints 26-9, was that the one that stunned you or shocked you the most?
Well, again, if you go back and look at it over time with the Falcons and the Saints, my brother-in-law is in a survivor pool, and I track it for him. And there were a ton of people that lost out on the Saints yesterday, and there were a ton of people that lost out on the Colts yesterday. And if you look at it, the last time a team that was 1-7 or worse, like Atlanta, went on the road to beat a team that was at least 7-1, like the Saints, was 1986 when the 1-8 Chargers went to Denver and beat the 8-1 Broncos in 1986.
Wow.
So that's how long it had been since we saw that kind of loss. Like, that doesn't happen, but it did yesterday.
Did you get a chance to see the sequence at the end of the first half of the Packers game where they called Gerald McCoy for roughing Aaron?
Yeah,
that was a horrific call, and it was ironic that he was the guy. I thought Matt LaFleur made a horrible decision to not take the field goal with 2 seconds left, and Gerald McCoy absolutely blew Aaron Jones up.
It was kind of a fitting little sequence there, wasn't it?
Yep.
That it ended that way.
Yep.
I mean, I thought that's how it should have worked out. And that was the way it did work out. And, it was a bad call on Gerald McCoy early in the game. The officiating had some real blunders yesterday. That, again, and, you know, it's a weekly deal now.
You're going to see probably the best Monday Night Football game that we can remember in recent memory, with the 49ers hosting the Seahawks tonight.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson putting up MVP-like numbers. And Jimmy Garoppolo and that 49ers team, you know, getting it done on the ground, fantastic defense.
Yeah.
What are you expecting to see tonight, Shefty?
A great matchup. Last year there was all the hype and anticipation around the Rams-Chiefs Monday night game, and it lived up to it. And I almost think that we have a similar circumstance with tonight's game. Like, the 49ers are the last unbeaten team in the NFL this season. They've played great. The Seahawks, they're amazing in how they've just kept up everything and just continued to roll. You know, Marshawn Lynch is gone. Legion of Boom is gone. Doug Baldwin is gone. And the two constants, well, really more than that, but they have the quarterback on offense, Russell Wilson, the quarterback on defense, Bobby Wagner, the GM, John Schneider, and the head coach, Pete Carroll. And because of that, they just keep rolling on and on and on. And, again, they're on a playoff path, and the Niners are unbeaten. And, you know, I was here earlier this season for the Monday night game between the Browns and the 49ers. And I will say that standing on the field before the game, it felt like there was just a lot of energy in that stadium and on the field that day. And this is the biggest NFL game in this stadium in the 6 years it's been open for the 49ers. Now, this stadium has hosted the Super Bowl between the Broncos and Panthers, and it hosted the national championship game between Clemson and Alabama. But when you talk to the people around here, they say this is the biggest game the 49ers have played in this new stadium. And for all those years, they made all those memories in Candlestick Park. Everybody knows how that worked out. But this is the biggest regular season game that the 49ers have played in this stadium.
So Russell Wilson has played 8 division games as an underdog in his career. Can you tell me?
8-0
against the spread with an average margin of cover of 9.4 points.
Yeah.
So would you
So
if Adam Schefter, and I'm not saying you are, but if you were to get your feet wet in Vegas, would Adam Schefter take the 6 or lay the 6?
Is that what it's 6? I didn't even know what it is. I had no idea what the line on the game is.
San Francisco -6.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I don't bet. And anyone who asks me these questions, I always say, don't bet yourself. Saying that, I actually was tempted to make my first college football bet since I was in high school over the weekend on LSU. I truly was.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had some people telling me about how good they were and how Alabama's not up to snuff, and I saw Alabama favored by 7, and I'm like, but again, I'm so anti-betting that it doesn't even occur to me. But
Are you American? I mean, what's going on with you here? What do you mean you're anti-betting?
I love fantasy sports is what I love. Like, that's, you know, I love that. So, but if I... 6 points? I picked the 6 points tonight. That's right. That's me. But what do I know?
There you go. You're Adam Schefter.
And by the way,
you know everything.
No. The fact that I'm telling you to pick the 6 points probably locks in the fact that the 49ers won by 20.
Yeah.
Just telling you.
Probably right.
Over the weekend, in case people missed it, you put out the story that Antonio Brown is not expected to play again this season.
Yeah.
What sealed his fate as far as not playing again this year?
Well, again, it's still ongoing, and his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, strongly disagrees with that, and we'll see who's right and who's wrong here. But again, talking to enough people, first of all, the investigation is not wrapped up. We're going into week 11. He still has not cooperated and turned over the requested material that the league has asked for. So when do you think all this is going to get done? That's my number one question. Number two, do you think that they're going to rule in his favor or against him? Maybe they'll rule for him. It could be. We'll see how that goes. But again, it's so late. And then again, for everything that's happened, the league still hasn't disciplined him at all. So he's been under investigation for these alleged sexual assaults from multiple women, and there's been no discipline, even though he's been out of football. So for him to play this year, the investigation has to wrap up very quickly. When the league has no motivation to do that, it has to wrap up in his favor, and then there has to be a team that's willing to sign him. Do you think all those three things are going to come together and happen?
No.
Okay.
Then
you would agree that with the premise of the story, which is that he's not expected to play again this season.
I just don't believe that he's healthy. I don't. I think there's something going on. This is not normal behavior. Where he was to where he is, I think we're going to find out someday, sadly, that there was more going on with this guy having some type of a health crisis, mental illness, or whatever it was. Shefty, enjoy your time out there tonight. Don't eat too much chocolate, Giardelli Circle, okay?
You got it, guys. Thank you very much.
See you, buddy.
See you, Shefty.
There you go. Adam Schefter, who joins us each and every week. And this week, it's from San Francisco, where he's there for Monday Night Football.
And a couple weeks ago, he was at Lambeau Field. Good thing he wasn't there last night, because remember, he did the Lambeau Leap?
Yep.
And he has, to be fair to Adam, he's got Bill Laimbeer hops. Mm-hmm. You might be able to sneak a piece of paper underneath.
Got my hops. Yeah, none.
So he needed to almost be propped up to pull off the Lambeau Leap. I wonder if he'll do the catch, if he'll imitate Montana to Dwight. Who is it, Dwight?
Clark. Yeah. The late Dwight Clark.
That's right. He passed away the past year, right?
ALS.
That's right.
I believe it was ALS. So, yeah, that was an amazing catch. That'd be funny to see Schefter on the back of the end zone. Be pretty funny. Anyway, 312-332-3776. The baseball GM meetings start today.
Wow.
Yes, amid a lot of speculation that the Chicago White Sox will be very active in free agency. Maybe not playing in the deepest end of the pool, but for pretty expensive, good guys. They may not be in on Gerrit Cole. They may not be in on Anthony Rendon.
We went down this road last offseason.
Yeah, no question. They got to prove it. It's not just tell me, show me. And then the Chicago Cubs, from what I'm hearing, anything's on the table, and Wilson Contreras foremost in their thoughts about who they would move.
And don't you think, and I'll ask you this question on the other side, David Ross's relationship with Wilson Contreras, I want to know from you how much you think that plays a role in Contreras being on the trading block. We can answer that
on the other side. Do you feel better about this Bears team after yesterday's performance? We'll update the poll result. That was the question. Do you feel better about this Bears team after yesterday's performance? I do a little. I'm not as negative as the guys here. Where are you? 312-332-3776. Your calls next.
You're listening to Cap and Company starring David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
Well, you almost forget sometimes four games is a long time. And you get up there, and I just sat back and just be able to watch the guys, what we were so used to doing, is seeing them in there, and they ended up doing some one-on-one dancing, which is pretty neat. But it's exciting. We enjoy it. It brings you together, you know, and then you're able to coach off of wins a lot easier. You know, there's still a lot of things that we need to get better at. We understand that, but you step back in those moments and you say, this is why we do what we do.
Cap and Company with David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
That's Matt Nagy on the moment with his team in Club Dub. We'll play a little Matt for you here in just a moment. So I want to just shout out Spencer Manning out on Midway Lane in Vernon Hills.
Mm-hmm.
there's no school today because of Veterans Day, and they're all out there with the snow, and the Amazon driver was basically handing out packages, and he sent me the clip, and you can hear your voice. The Amazon driver and Spencer had the radio cranked up on the Amazon van, and you can hear Pat Boyle talking about Mitchell and Trubisky. Man. So it was very funny.
Way to go, Spence.
Spencer Manning, thanks. You're the man. Thanks for listening, and thank you to the Amazon driver on Midway Lane in Vernon Hills. We appreciate
probably
it.
Probably on his way to our house right now, judging by the number of packages that are accumulating on our front porch.
Yeah, I saw the picture of what the Amazon truck looks like.
Mm-hmm.
It's too small to be the one going to either your house or mine.
Right.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Unreal.
Hey, so, you know, Cody White here obviously moved back to center yesterday and struggled snapping the football in shotgun formation. I think at least four kind of skipped up to Mitchell.
Yep.
Did you
hear? He actually did a pretty good job to corral those.
Yeah, he did. You know, but again, he's got to take his eyes down from surveying the defense to scoop
like,
up the ground ball.
Where is that?
To gather the short hop.
And he doesn't need any more stress.
No,
in his
he
life.
Does not. Did you hear what Nagy said afterwards as when he was asked about that?
Take a listen. Right. Here's Matt Nagy.
No, there's not. You know, it's we had that last year dealing with it, but Cody's been great at just you know, once we started discussing this move, he was really good at understanding it and just practicing it. And I think sometimes when whatever sport it is, if it's golf and, you know, a golfer has the yips or that you get into, pitchers or whatever, the less you talk about it, the better it gets. So we just try to not talk about it.
There you go. All right. Just don't talk about it. It'll get better. Hey,
we hope
Eddie Pinheiro that missed the extra point. Don't, you know what? We're not even going to talk about it. Yep. It'll get better.
Yep,
everything's going to be
fine.
They'll
call him in and go, "Hey, we're cutting you." What? Nobody talked to me. They didn't tell me I was having a problem. 312-332-3776. Do you feel better about this Bears team after yesterday's performance, Danny? What is the percentages on your very, very outstanding and well followed Twitter account?
Cap, thank you for your compliments and your warm heart after you refused to take back the bet that we had on Bears-Lions. The question was, do you feel better about this Bears team after yesterday's performance? Shockingly, 75% of the audience say no, they do not feel better.
Okay. All right.
They're reasonable people.
There should have been a third choice. A little bit, but still have a long way to go. Okay.
That's where you are?
Yes.
Okay.
That's where I'm at. I'm not like, oh my God, we're back. No. But a little bit.
But of the two options,
I don't see how you cannot be alarmed at the fact that, forget the offensive side of the Bears ball here. Let's just talk about the fact that the Lions had a backup quarterback who literally was taking no snaps and the Bears won in a one possession game.
And he actually looked really good.
Like this vaunted Bears D that's as good as 2006 and 85, a backup quarterback that took zero snaps with the first team in practice, basically, almost led the Lions to a victory. That's upsetting, no?
They won. That's all I care about, man.
That's all you're looking at.
The quarterback looked better. He threw three touchdown passes, and they got it done. They won, period. On to L.A. They may get their head kicked in. I'm on to L.A. 312-332-3776. Here's Matt Nagy on what clicked for his quarterback.
Well, early on, offensively for us, we had a couple three and outs, didn't have a lot of yards. But then you saw we picked up the tempo a little bit, got going there towards the end of the second quarter. And he made some really, really good throws. He had great protection with the line. Wide receivers, tight ends stepped up, the backs. So it's just one of those things. It becomes contagious. You know, you feel it. You get a couple plays in a row that feel good. And then we had that 3rd and 7 on the touchdown to Taylor Gabriel where Taylor ran a hell of a route. And, that's not an easy route to run. He ran it. And then Mitch made a hell of a throw putting it in there. So we were clicking at that. It felt good. It felt good to click for those three possessions.
There you go. Felt good to click for those three possessions. He also, I thought, I'm going to play something else for you. He talked about the struggles early, whether it was Mitch missing Taylor Gabriel dropping a pass. Bobby Massey a false start, that Mitch did not get rattled.
So here's what I'll say. This is hard for everybody to understand, but what I really appreciated about Mitch today was the fact that he never got rattled in all that stuff. You know, he really didn't. And so it's hard for everybody to see in those moments, because there were some mistakes today that weren't his fault, that it's easy to become unraveled. And he didn't do that. He stayed composed the whole time. And it would have been easy to go the other way. But he faced it, and he stepped up into it, and he made some strong throws. And even after the strong throws, we had some moments throughout the game where there was mistakes by some certain players, which is a part of football. But we didn't let that rattle us today. And then we got into 4 minute there at the end, and we had some situational football today, which is always good for us to learn from too.
So that was some Matt Nagy we wanted to play. I'll play Mitchell Trubisky in a minute, but Paul in Lake Forest has a thought on the head coach. Paul, welcome to the show, Sparky.
Great show again, Cap.
Thanks, man.
I got to tell you, I keep wanting to give Nagy a break, but after this last soliloquy, he makes me want to vomit with his phoniness. I got to be honest, what happened to the self-esteem of millennials that all you can say is positive stuff, and you got to keep blowing smoke up people's butts, over exalting normal stuff that a pro is supposed to do? It's lost its luster. I mean, I don't know what we can do about this guy. A golfer? Comparing it to a golfer? My goodness, this guy's never played golf, obviously.
Matt's a golfer, man. Matt plays a lot.
Well, I don't, his comparison's off.
I don't.
Yeah, just
disagree.
Don't talk about it. Don't talk about it, Paul. Those yips will fix themselves. Just don't talk about it.
Exactly. Don't correct that bad grip. Don't correct your swinging too hard. It'll all work its way out on about hole 17.
Yeah, when it's bouncing 15 yards past Mitchell Trubisky, everyone's like, what?
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, that's how Madden lost the Cubs. He kept blowing this false smoke about, oh, don't worry, our bullpen, you know, they only threw 75 pitches today. That's better than throwing 80. I mean, my God, what happened to the self-esteem of millennials? It's brutal.
That's why I love Ozzie Guillen, because he told it like it is.
Exactly.
See you, thanks, Paul. Have a good week. All right, kid.
And you too.
See you. Thanks.
Paul mentioned the Cubs real quickly. Let's pay off the tease. So the baseball meetings, GM meetings?
GM meetings started today in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Oh, they always pick good spots. Amazing.
I will be at the baseball winter meetings.
Yes.
Danny and I will be there. We're going to do the radio show from there.
Nice.
And I'll do TV from there, San Diego, California.
Oh, fantastic.
December 8th to 12th.
Look at that. Eat your heart out.
Take
that. Is it just Cap and no company, or you'll be prominent?
Danny will be prominent company.
We'll see about that. I might be sunbathing. You never know. It's San Diego.
Visiting certain places, certain shops.
What kind of shops are you talking about?
Whatever. So the word on the street is that Wilson Contreras is on the trading block.
Correct.
And I had heard that because of Rossi's, let's just say, somewhat strained relationship when they were teammates, or what have you, may be a catalyst in this.
Yeah, I don't know if that's accurate. I think that they went to him to try and get him to sign a multi-year extension a year ago, and he said, no, thank you.
So did three other guys.
KB, Javi, all these guys. Do you know that I was told by someone who would know that after the 2016 season, they went to Addison Russell and offered him a 5-year deal, and he said, no, thank you. And since then, it's going downhill for him. So, not a good decision there. Someone gives you life guaranteeing money, don't bet on yourself in that situation if you're going through the things off the field that he was obviously going through. But you got to be able to look in the mirror and be honest with yourself, too, and most people are not. Nick is in Omaha, Nebraska. What's going on there, buddy?
How you doing? Long time with your first time caller, and as the Bears fan, and I know you guys might have touched on this, but I don't want to say that Stafford would have impacted it, because he would have. We know that. Here's one thing I want to.
Nick, you got a terrible cell, man.
Nope.
We gotta put Nick on hold because we can't hear him. It's too bad. So Would have loved to have gotten him in, but he'll have to call us back. 312-332-3776. So Matt Nagy, 7-2 against the NFC North in his head coaching career, 3-0 against the Lions. It was Mitchell Trubisky's fifth career game with at least three TD passes, and the second time this season that he did that, and it was the third highest passer rating of his career, 131.0. So there you go. First TD pass for Ben Bronecker.
It was an awesome catch and an awesome throw.
You see how he caught it by the points of the ball? And then he said, I just tried to squeeze it as hard as I could because I knew I was going to get hit.
And shout out to Ian Eagle and Dan Fouts for delivering a quality broadcast.
They were excellent.
It was so nice to not have Dick Stockton for a week.
Yeah, I enjoyed
it. It's been a long season. Less Dick Stockton, more better. That's where I'm going.
Tell me the last time the Bears defense gave up an opening drive touchdown.
It's been a long time.
That would be
16 games?
10-21 of 2018 to Tom Brady and the Patriots.
There you go.
There you go. 312-332-3776. We will get to your calls on a Victory Monday. Don't forget, Carmen, you're coming up top of the hour. It'll be in for Crosstalk. Waddle and Sylvie. What do we got tonight, Chris Black? Would it be a Jay Hood experience tonight? What do we have?
I believe so.
Jay Hood will be on as well after the Waddle and Sylvie show and the hour wrap-up. We'll be right back.